Look, I just want to talk to you for a minute tonight about learning to live a life of prayer. Some of you do. Some of you have a prayer life. Some of you don't. Some of you say, well, my prayer life is weak. But I just want us to look at a couple scriptures tonight. And, you know, I want to say this. I was thankful for the service we had Sunday morning, and it was beautiful. And but I never want to forget teaching. I never want to forget the Word of God. And there's times when revival comes in, and revival will be very messy. We say, oh, we're ready for revival. Oh, really? We are? Oh, no, we don't. You know, we'll take it if it comes, or when I'll say when it comes. But whenever you're overloaded and can't get in and there's not enough spaces and the parking lot's not big enough and they're parking all over the place and there's, you know, you've got to have nurseries for hundreds of babies and classrooms and the bathroom and the maintenance that happens. It's an amazing thing that happens when revival is poured out. And a lot of people, when I was growing up in the church, when you had a shouting time in the church, they'd say, ooh, didn't we have church? There wasn't even any preaching. How many remember that one? We didn't even have preaching. It was so good. Well, my husband and I was over at Larry and Linda's house one day, and the neighbors had just had come in from North Carolina. And so we were talking to him for some reason out at the fence visiting with him and found out that he had gone to church there years ago but was not saved. And that they had pulled away and got mad at the church and whatever and left the church. So we led him to the Lord, and he started coming to church with us. Well, I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, and I could teach some of the most familiar stories of the Old Testament. And he would say, oh, Sister Paulette, that was so good. I never heard that story. That just beat anything I ever heard. And I said, Brother Randy, where were you all these years? You said you were in that church in North Carolina. He said, we had such good services, we never got to the Word. Okay, so that's kind of dangerous. So he didn't know a thing, just a totally ignorant man. And we don't ever want to be that way. And I never want to take for granted anything that the Lord lays on my heart. And one of them is this, that everybody prays. That everybody in the church reads their Bible. Listen, everybody in the church don't read their Bible. And everybody in the church don't pray. And so I just want to talk about learning to live a life of prayer. Again, many of you have, but some of you haven't. So let's just take a little renewal course. And I want to remind you that the promises of God were never meant, ever, ever meant to just be thrown away. They're not meant to be thrown away like throwing a, you know, doubling up that piece of paper and throwing it in the wastebasket. That's not what the promises of God are about. They're there to help us and to be a blessing to us. So I just want you to know tonight that even to think about praying, and most of the time when you are drawn to prayer and you pray a lot and you do have a prayer life, you know why? It's because you know who he is. You know who he is, and you know how much he loves you, and you know how good he is. And that's why we go to him. And people that really don't know him and they don't really understand or have a life of faith that says he will hear me when I pray, if they don't believe that he hears them, then why pray? It's just, you know, it's too hard. I wouldn't say it's a waste of time. I don't think they think that. But prayer almost has to become a habit in your daily life. It just does. So just to be able to pray, you've got to know that he loves you. How much, I don't know that we'd ever know how much he loves us. But to know that he loves us, know a little bit about him. And the only way that you can ever do that is by this. And so if you don't read this, you're probably not going to pray much. Now, what will happen is you will pray when you have a need. when something's gone wrong in your life and you have no idea what you're going to do, well, we get all spiritual and start to pray. But that's good. But I'm talking about putting this in your life, and then it will cause you to begin to have prayer every day of your life and be consistent in your prayer life. So I want you, Kathy, somebody didn't give you my note, did they? Let's just pull up Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7, if you guys have it. Would you run this back to Kathy, Brother Sal? I don't have a lot, but... While they're finding that, Brother Ken, would you come up here and tell them that little dream you had? The Bible said the old men will dream dreams and young men see visions. So you can decide which one he is, the young or the old. But he did dream a dream, and I thought it was so sweet, Brother Ken. Tell him what you told me back there. Here.
Put it up. I had a dream that the house was full, and we were praising the Lord and shouting, and music, and everything's going wild. Two cops come in the back door, and they say, "What is going on here?" And I told them, "Well, the pastor, who's in charge here?" And I said, "Well, the pastor is right there, and the sheriff's right over there, so take your pick."
I think that's pretty good. The part I like is the house was full. That not because of any status, but because that's more souls that will hear the word of the Lord. Amen. So, Kathy, did you get Proverbs? Let me get over there. Proverbs 4:7. Now, one of the first things, of course, I'm going to have that light here so I can see. I'm sorry. There you go. No, that's fine. So one of the first things we do, and I always tell you that here on prayer night, is when we come in to pray, one of the first things we do is worship him. So always worship him before you ask for his hand on anything. And another thing, when we come into prayer, don't take that time to go visit with someone. And if somebody comes in and wants to talk to you at that time or maybe counsel, just say, "You know what, I'll meet you after church," okay? Or if they need counseling, go to lunch with them. Make a lunch date and go visit or come into the office, whatever you want to do. But don't take this special time to visit. It's not about that. If you need special prayer, we'll all pray for you. You don't go one-on-one, okay? Don't interrupt because other people get disturbed. And I want to say this, in your own prayer life at home, all by yourself, when you are talking to God, that's the most important meeting that you're ever going to call. I don't care if you've got a meeting with your attorney or the doctor or anyone else. It's not as important as that time when you're meeting with the Lord. Now, if you're just passing, you know, in passing, you're talking to the Lord. But I'm talking about when you sit down with him and you're giving him your undivided attention, then that's where I'm saying don't answer the phone. Don't interrupt yourself to talk to anybody else. Don't interrupt that time with him because that's so important. Because then what we are saying is, "God, you're not as important. My friend's more important, or my mother, or whoever." Don't go back and check your phone. If the phone goes off, it's let it go off. You're talking to God. It's not time to check your Facebook. Not time to check your text. You're right here. Amen? So important. Now, the worshiping him, telling him how much you love him, some of those things before you pray, that I want you to look at this. We could probably put this number one, but I think worship would be more important. But look at Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is what? The principal thing. The most important thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So one of the first things we want to do when we go into prayer is say, "Lord, I need wisdom." And that's what I was about to tell you in James chapter 1. James, the brother of Jesus. Go to James 1:5, Kathy. Look at this. James said, "If any of you lack wisdom, ask a God, and he'll give it to you liberally. Look, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. That means, whew, over and abundant and without reproach. And it will be given to him. If God says, I'll give it to you, he means, I will give it to you. Now, just in Proverbs, he said, with your wisdom, you will get understanding. How many times do you hear people say, I just don't understand. I don't understand. Well, when we get wisdom, he said, I'll give you understanding. And you know what? Sometimes our understanding is, God, though I don't understand, you do. And I can live with that. I don't have to have all the answers, Lord. You have it. So that wisdom comes down and the understanding comes with it. So if God says wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing, then ask him for wisdom every day. God, I don't have enough. I lack wisdom. I need it. All right. And if you're saying, well, you know, so many, and we do pray God's will. You know, Jesus said, ask the Father that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray the will of God, and some people have made a doctrine out of that. Pray God's will. Well, now we know that it's God's will to heal, and some even debate that. We know it's his will to save. That goes without question. It's his will to bless us. There's so many things that are his will. But there's certain things that you don't know his will on. Like, maybe you're feeling like you should leave this job and go to another, or, I don't know, you know, you can think of something. You just don't know, you don't see any place in the Bible where it talks about his will. Well, when that comes up, believe me, you can trust him. But here's what David said, and I love this. Kathy, I don't think I put it on there, but give me 2 Samuel 7:25. And the reason I didn't is because I wanted you to catch the last six words. I think that's five or six words. 2 Samuel 7:25. When David didn't know what to do, he said, Lord, just do as you have said. Okay, so you know his promises are true. Look at this. Oops. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the words he said was, it is what? Finished. It is finished. And that word it entails everything. I mean, everything in our lives. So when he said it is finished, then we can say with David, oh, now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. And read that last part with me. Do as you have said. And I think that those are the things. And David's prayed that again in First Chronicles. And God had spoken to David, and he said, one day there's going to be one that will reign on your throne. He said, you've been a good king, but he'll reign on your throne, and that throne will go forever. It will set up my kingdom on earth. And that's why David said, Lord, don't ever let it go down. Establish it forever. Just do as you have said. Okay, because time went on, and he didn't see any sign of that. In fact, he died and didn't see a sign of it. But he said, Lord, just do as you have said. So that's always good to pray, you guys, when you don't know how to pray. And make sure that you are thankful when you pray. That's one of the things that Paul taught us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Now, I'm not giving you a formula tonight. These are just simple things. Nothing that I'm giving you now is new. It's just a reminder of things we all have in our heart. But Paul said, be anxious in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Don't get all worked up over it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication or petition, Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Why? He knows everything. Well, if God said, let your requests be made known to him, then that's what we're going to do. That's why we ask him to heal your sciatic nerve. Why? Well, he said, ask him about it. Make our requests known to him. Now, there's times where we write our prayers down in a book. Does anyone have a prayer journal? And you write requests to him. And a petition, I think it just means this in the dictionary. It doesn't have to go Greek or Hebrew. It might probably means the same. But a petition is a written document. I mean, it's something written. You can give it to a judge. You can present it to an attorney. And so it's a written petition. Excuse me, a written document. A written document. So with God as our judge, when we pray, if you write it down, now he mentions that here. I know a lady in they came to Bakersfield to minister at my sister and brother-in-law's church. And so Lainey was just telling me all about these petitions and how that Trish was saying they're written documents. And I'm telling you, a lot of miracles have happened in that way in that girl's life. Now, it may not happen like that for everybody, but all I know is what Paul said. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but present your prayer. That's what we've done here tonight. Joanna, how are you feeling? Better? Okay. So we presented prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, and we stood there and thanked God for it for a while. Thank you, Jesus. We did the same for you. Thank you, Jesus. So make sure you praise him for it and thank him before you're done to let your requests be made known to God. And the next one I want to say is this, and this might be hard for some, but always, forever, forever walk in forgiveness. We just must. You can't, listen, you may be mad at somebody, but the Bible tells us before we come up here to worship, make sure if there's anything between us with anyone, make sure that slate is cleaned up and cleared. Just go and make sure that offense is taken care of before you go stand in front of God. And that's not easy to do sometimes. It's just not easy to do. There's some times where you can't get to that person, so you forgive them in your heart. You're forgiven at a distance. You forgive them at a distance. But if you can forgive them in person, or you say, look, I know that you have ought against me, but I forgive you, or I'm asking you to forgive me. Sometimes we have to do that. Maybe you know you weren't wrong, and you know the reason that happened. But how many times have you had to go, I've had to go first and say, please forgive me if I've offended you. And I have no problem with that. I don't have a stubborn thing in me. Now, I may appear like that, but I'm just telling you, when it comes to letting anything be between me and God, I will lower myself. I'll embarrass myself. I'll do whatever I have to do to be clean before him. I'm not going to have it. And so I'm just telling you guys, it's very, very important. Have you ever met somebody that can't say, I'm sorry? Whew. Is that a terrible thing? That's a really, really bad thing. Not good at all. And so we have to make sure that all of that's cleaned up so that when we go to God, we go with a clear head and a clear mind. Don't let old Joe be between you and him or Susie or whoever. Do not let anyone come between you and Jesus. So I just want to say one of the things we got to do too, and I say I'm not trying to put a burden on you tonight, but one of the things we must do is come to God believing. And if you read his word and you get some of his promises in your heart, you listen to what I'm saying on Sunday, or you're watching TBN, or you get your favorite preacher, TV preacher, write those things down and keep that promise. But best of all, read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, read the book of James, read John, read your Bible. And then you'll find out, I can talk to him because nobody loves me like he does. Nobody cares for me like him, and nobody has the wisdom that he has. No one. So that, listen, this is what keeps us praying in faith. Because we can't pray in worry. How many times have we prayed in worry? Because you're looking at your loved one laying there on that bed, or you know you need that $1,000 by Monday, and it's just not there, and you're trying to pray, and yet you've got the devil over here saying, what if it doesn't happen? What if? What if? What if? But I'm just saying, we can't be a double-minded man or woman. So we pray believing, Lord, do as you said you would do. Just do that, Lord. Do what you told me you would do. Do as you have said. Okay, so pray believing, not worrying. And I know that's a mouthful, but just to pray believing, because Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Mark 11:24, write it down. So those are all great things, very simple things, but be consistent in your prayer life. Well, I do, Pastor. I pray in my car, and I pray when I'm passing. I'm always praying. I know we are. But get some time with him. Remember the word paga. It's to call a meeting. And so when we pray, it's not all just about having a prayer list. Somebody told me the other day, I have you on my prayer list. I'm going to, you know, we say that all the time. I'm going to put you on my prayer list. Well, we've got a prayer list, and we've got certain things we pray for, and that's all really good, but we cannot forget that we are there in prayer to meet with God. We are there to meet with our friend. We are there to meet with our judge, there to meet with our Savior, there to meet with our healer, there to meet with our way maker, the miracle worker. We're there to meet with him. So it's not just a time to bring our needs to him, but a time to meet with him. Set a meeting with him. Okay. Timmy Miller was a young man. It's Diane Miller's son. And so he signed up to go through our Bible college. He graduated after 2 years. And so he went, and one of the things he did, he got so convicted to pray. And he loved Jesus so much. And he was so convicted, he said, I'm going to set my alarm clock for every, on his phone. He said, I'm setting my alarm for three times a day to pray, morning, noon, and evening. And he set it for that time, and he stopped everything. I don't care who he was with. And he said, excuse me. And he went and he called a meeting with the Lord. It changed his life, I'm telling you. So if you have to set an alarm, that's okay, set it. But all I wanted to say tonight is just learn to live a life of prayer. Make sure you get it in, because there's nothing more important than prayer. Wisdom is the principal thing, and with it, we get understanding. But prayer is a principal thing. I mean, we got to have it, church. We just have to. And my favorite time of prayer, though I have a long list, but my favorite thing is meeting with him first. I always meet with him first. Spend time in his presence. Nothing else like it.